He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. Hey, we're off to a big start in the market here this morning. What's the driver? A bad jobs report. Well, what's so good about that? Why is the market so excited? Well, we'll have that for you in a minute, but right now you've got the Dow up. Let's see, it was up 515 points. It's up 1.4%. I will say this, though. A lot of that is Amgen and Apple. I'm not seeing a lot of stocks participating in this move so far. The S&P 500 is up 66 to 5,130. That's a 1.3% move. Once again, Amgen and Apple are big, carrying a heavy weight in these indexes today. The NASDAQ's up 295. That's 1.9%. It's at 16,137. And guess what? Once again, it's Amgen and Apple dominating that gain. The small caps are up 1.75%. Crude oil on weak demand, 78.46. That's not a good bellwether number there for the global economy. Gold is down $22 an ounce. That run in gold has really come to a halt. Now, here's the big news today. The 10-year's down 7 basis points to 4.49%, and Bitcoin is up $3,100 to $61,747. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and it's the old saw, Barry. Yeah. Bad news is good news. Right? That's pretty much what's behind this move in the market. And I'm just going to tell you, it's not a real broad advance in the market. There's a lot coming on, I think, much to do about nothing really, which we'll get into. Two stocks, Amgen and Apple. We'll go over
the reasoning behind Apple.
Yeah, we'll go over the reasoning behind Apple's big move, and then again, Amgen, which may have a weight loss drug someday in the future. Okay, these are not real solid things, but we'll get into this. Yesterday, you had a big day. The Dow was up 522 or 322. I guess Powell said just enough. There's not going to be a rate hike. Okay. All right. Yeah. I wasn't really expecting one.
Yeah, and folks are waiting for this jobs report today, and it came in much softer than expected, and so that's the bad news portion. But good news for the markets.
I think
the commentators say that if the equity markets could have written their own jobs report, that would be the one that they would have written.
Yes, and you know, I mean, this comes on. Look, let's not forget that last week we had a horrible GDP report, right? And then a bad jobs report today. In reality, does that mean that we're seeing the economy slow down? I'm hearing that the lower end of the economy is starting to struggle, which doesn't bode well, I mean, in an election year. So anyways, these are the cross currents right now. But I guess Powell said just enough on Wednesday, because the markets were really technically were perched on adding on another 5% to the already 5% correction. They're holding the line for now. They're bouncing. Will this wear off? I don't know. We'll see. Qualcomm had a big day yesterday. DoorDash was the disappointing stock. And now here's the news today. That was 192. That was better than expected. It's the official non-farm payrolls report that came in today. That is boosting the market. We added 175,000 new jobs versus 243,000 expected.
And that 243 is what was expected. Yeah. That's a big miss.
Yep. And the unemployment rate ticks up to 3.9 from 3.8. So like you say, the market is now saying, oh, boy, here comes a rate cut.
Yeah, and to put that in context, too, right, and that's the thing about these job numbers is they can, historically, right, they can, kind of fall, for lack of a better term, fall off a cliff at some point. And so when you look at, the additions in March were 315K. So you had 315K in March and only 175
that's
in April.
Falling off a cliff.
So that's a pretty, that's a pretty significant, pullback, right?
It's not showing up though yet in those, unemployment reports.
Well, in spending.
Those layoff reports.
Yeah, consumers
and spending.
Are still spending. Right.
But it is starting to show up in the GDP, the labor costs. We still have a tight labor market from what I can tell, but maybe it's finally starting to soften, and the market would certainly celebrate that. So, look, on Tuesday, the market was worried about a rate hike, apparently, because Powell laid those, he got rid of those fears, and all of a sudden the market feels quite perky once again. And now, after today's jobs report, it's looking ahead. Hey, we're going to get a rate cut. So it's kind of ad nauseum. I mean, look, 0.25% is not that big of a deal.
Right.
But it's what the market trades on right now. I would say more than anything right now, it's trading on interest rates. Okay, all right. So now we'll dig into some of the stocks. There's been a lot of companies that have reported here. But first, there's a few more macro things I want to go over. Weak diesel market adds to concerns about global oil demand. Okay, this is the third thing showing up all of a sudden in the economy that's a bit worrisome. We had the GDP for America really dropping. I mean, just over 1%, 1.5, I think, somewhere in there. All of a sudden, you've got this weak jobs report. And diesel is a pretty big indicator of an economy. That's your trucks, your boats, yeah. Your ships.
That's the movement of stuff.
Absolutely.
Right?
Good,
proper term being goods around, whether it's around the globe or around, your own, national economy. But yeah, it's and we've talked about it where you in terms of the U.S. is really, from a growth standpoint, been the driver of really the global economy. China's still hasn't really kind of launched after after COVID, and Europe has had structural economic issues just from a growth standpoint for a while. So.
Yes, and a dip in global diesel demand is also feeding concerns about slowing oil demand growth in big economies. All right, so there's another worry. When you lay your head on the pillow tonight, there's another worry you can add there. And the stockpiles are building, okay? Now, J.P. Morgan weighs in on crypto. They say retail investors are selling off cryptocurrencies alongside other headwinds, which keeps J.P. Morgan cautious towards the Bitcoin market. They've always been pretty cautious on the Bitcoin market, as have I. And of course, Bitcoin hit 73,000 in March, got down to 59,000 on Thursday. That's that's about a 20% drop, and that comes after that big halving event. So that's not the greatest, and I see that as a risk on sentiment gauge. Now, as a company, okay, this will lead into when we come back, we're going to talk about a big company that reported yesterday. You have three ways of increasing earnings, Barry. You have increase your sales, keep your margins the same or in line, and your earnings are going to go up, number one.
Right.
Number two, your sales are falling or flat, and you're cutting costs, number two. Number three, buy back a ton of shares to take them off the market. So when you divide the earnings by the amount of shares, the earnings per share goes up, right? Or a combination thereof. And I guess you would call that financial engineering. And, you know, when I see a big, big buyback from a company that has no growth, to me, that's worrisome.
Well, okay. Yeah, and there's you know, you can look at it a few ways. Well, number one is it's a lot like a dividend, except they're buying back their own stock, right? And so what it's telling you is their growth prospects, right? Or, number one, they have too much cash, and they They don't have a lot of places to put it. I mean, you can't buy. It's hard to buy a company right now because you're going to get blocked by the, by the authorities at the federal level.
Yes. So we'll talk about the financial engineering. Propping up, that's the term I would use, that's propping up Apple today, and why Apple is up, I think, 5 or 6% on what I don't see as very good news myself. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter. Hey, Barry, we actually had a guy, I had a guy that emailed me yesterday. He says he lives just down the street from the Princess Purple Rain House, and he doesn't see it on Airbnb yet. So we'll have to wait until the next time we go to Minnesota to rent
to stay there.
Right.
Yeah, right. I saw where they were announcing they're going to have different sponsorship, somewhat of a sponsorship, right? Having unique properties listed on the on the spot there, but it's pretty unique. So somebody can I think I've seen you can rent. They have I think there's an island listing that I've seen before.
That Ferrari Museum sounds interesting.
That one is. That's right.
Look. I think it was George Harrison's funeral tribute concert where Tom Petty and George Harrison's son Donnie and the guy from ELO, Jeff Lynne, and Prince performed While My Guitar Gently Weeps. You can find it on YouTube. That's one of the most amazing guitar solos I've ever seen. It was done by Prince. It's done by Eric Clapton. I mean, Prince was an unbelievable performer. He went out there and just wailed on that solo.
Yeah.
He dropped back into the crowd, and what a showman that guy was.
Well, and the number of instruments that he could play.
Oh man, talented. Oh, and
Savant,
charismatic.
Yeah.
But what can I say? His life was cut short. Well, okay, let's look at the raw numbers. Apple's quarter. Their sales were down 4% versus this same time last year. I think in China they were down 9%. Let's look at their last four quarters, which represents their last year of business, okay? Sales in the 4 quarters ago, down 1%. Then the next quarter, down 1%. Then the next quarter, up 2%. Then the next quarter, down 4%. So they've had no growth in sales whatsoever for the last year. In fact, they're down a little bit. So now how are you going to increase earnings when you're not increasing sales? You're going to decrease costs. I don't know that I've heard of any layoffs from Apple.
Yeah, I mean, you being in that space, right, particularly with the AI wars going on, right, you would think that my guess is they're CapEx is going to be going up. Now, their operating costs, they could trim potentially, right?
But certainly we've seen
on their CapEx, they've got
Tesla laid off 10% of their global workforce, right?
Right.
I haven't
yeah.
seen that from Apple. Now, let's look at their earnings over the last four quarters, up 5%, up 13%, up 16%, and then this quarter, up 1%. Terrible. And now you say, why is the stock then up 6.5%? Well, they're going to do the biggest stock buyback
in history.
In the history of mankind, which is also a controversial measure. Let's not forget that the Elizabeth Warrens and the Bernie Sanders of the world were going after these stock buybacks.
Because essentially, it's no different than a dividend, really, giving to an investor, because they're buying back stock, which is removing shares from the market, which all else being equal from a supply and demand standpoint helps the shareholder. And you know, it's something that helps the shareholder without
but it's
them a
distribution.
Yeah, because you give them a, you know, tax authorities don't like it because there's no dividend for them to
exactly.
tax.
Exactly. And, you know, Apple, you know, I mean, Apple has always had a ton of cash. And that's also been a complaint against Apple, is having all that cash on the balance
yep.
sheet.
Yeah, I remember when it was stuck for a while. I remember when it was stuck overseas.
Yeah.
And they finally were able to repatriate some with, you know, in a more tax-advantaged way.
Now, the other thing about Apple here that I would say is it's a single-digit grower, okay? I mean, it's pretty hard to argue that this is going to be a double-digit grower when they've had four quarters in a row of 1%, negative 1%, and this quarter's up 1% in sales or in earnings. So the stock's up 6.4% on 3x normal volume. I don't really see this as good news. Maybe there's a lot of short sellers, number one. Number two, it will drive up the earnings a little bit. I mean, I haven't done the math. How many shares does the stock have outstanding? You'd have to look at how many shares.
Yeah, what their float is. Right?
Their float is 15. Oh, that's hard to tell. 15 billion? 280?
Well, and if you take that market cap, right?
Yeah, so 15 billion shares, okay? And they're going to buy back one. They're going to take off of the market 1/15, I think. So
yeah,
that would be 6%. So in theory, that should raise their earnings. That should add 6% to $7.07. So it should add about 35 to 40 cents to earnings. And that's why you're seeing this raise in the stock today. Okay? So I just don't see that.
Yeah, and I mean, you go 40 cents times their forward multiple is, see, I just saw.
20, it. Let's see, their forward multiple is.
26-ish.
Let's
you know.
See.
So
forward multiple, where did that go?
It's roughly, it comes
28.
Out to about, what's rough, yeah, so you do the math, and I used the forward of 26.39, comes out to $10.50, stocks up. $10.89.
So
some back of the envelope math for you.
So there it goes. I mean, it's up in one day. It pretty much is back to a fully valued stock with no growth. Though that's my take on Apple, and we don't own Apple. It's a very popular stock. It did top expectations a little bit, and then they unveiled their $110 billion buyback, okay?
And an important stock to the market as a whole, certainly.
Well, it's
the largest company, but at the same time, right? It's you know, we can find 25 other large cap or mega cap names, right? That you like better.
Yeah, well, and it's a big component of the Dow, the S&P 500, and the Nasdaq.
Yeah.
So that's why I would say that these indexes are skewed just a little bit today, and they don't look as good underneath the surface. Now, over the last 12 months, Apple's up 2.7%. Okay, that's what you get with no earnings growth. The S&P's up 24%. You see how earnings and the stock price appreciation. Now, if you go back longer term, yes, I mean, Apple has done well over the last 10 years, but that number's coming down pretty quickly. Year to date, the stock is down 10%, and then you have to add back today's gains. So I just don't think, you know, there comes a moment when IBM crossed the Rubicon from a double-digit leader in the tech industry to a single-digit has-been. And, you know, I mean, Apple is right there. Unless they can come up, Microsoft seems to keep coming up with something new. And it sounds like Apple's something new is going to be AI. And I think that's what they'll be looking to is in their next phone. You're going to see it. I mean, this time it was titanium. Okay, remember their commercials recently?
Yeah, titanium.
So does that mean if I drop it, it won't break?
And a fancier camera. Always a
fancier camera. But I think next time you're going to see, they know that AI is the hottest term in the business right now. So anyways, that's my take on Apple. We don't own Apple. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show, and we still have a rally taking place in the market. Let me just refresh my screen here. A little bit of the fluff has come out, a little bit of the air has come out of the tires, but it's still pretty strong. The Dow has lost a couple hundred points here, 38,519 now. It's up 293 instead of 515. You know, Barry, when I look at underneath the surface, I look inside the 30 stocks in the Dow, and I see just a couple stocks dominating. I say, you know what? That's not a real sustainable. That's not built on a solid foundation there.
Yeah, and the Dow is more susceptible to that, obviously, since there's only 30
fewer
names
stocks
and just the structure of how it's constructed. Yeah, and you can really get skewed in there real fast, especially when just in the market in general. Like you said, when you're looking at Apple, largest, that makes up one of the largest, or the largest of the S&P,
yes.
And it's up, 6.39%.
We're saying
it's gonna raise the.
Seeing the same thing in the Nasdaq here. It was up 325, now it's up 276. And believe it or not, Amgen is also a major component of all three indexes, and it's impacting all three of them, and we'll get to Amgen in a minute. First, I want to talk about Booking Holdings. Okay, Booking is the old Priceline.com. Believe it or not, one of the great stocks of all time. And I remember the days when William Shatner was their spokesman. He made more from Priceline.com than he ever made
from Star Trek.
Oh, absolutely. Right. Now, Booking is up 6% today, but it's for real. It's up $205 per share. This is a stock that has never split. And compare this to Apple's quarter. Apple had what? Minus 4% growth in sales and 1% growth in earnings, okay? Booking, on the other hand, had 17% growth in sales. And let's look at their last four quarters, plus 27, plus 21, plus 18, plus 17.
Look at their
earnings.
That's
good double-digit high-teen growth compared to low single-digit or no growth at all. And that's sales. Now let's look at earnings.
They beat their earnings by like 30%.
Yes, okay. Their earnings were up 76% year-over-year. We do own Booking. They beat by like $30 a share like that.
Yeah, their EPS came in at 20 and some change. And they beat by $6.25.
They're going to make $176 per share this year, which is a 16% gain from last year. Okay, see, this low single digit stuff doesn't work for me. You got to be in the teens in that growth. And Booking is expected to make $206 per share next year. That's 17%. Before this big move today, let's just look at Booking's valuation. I know it was still in the buy range for me from a value point of view. I believe it had 85% is what I want to say here. Let's see. Booking, yeah, it was still in the buy range as it had 104% upside potential as of yesterday. Booking, it was up 72% this year. It's been kind of sideways this year, but I've been very patient with it. It's up 5.9% today on 3x normal volume. And okay, now let's look at a company that does almost the same exact thing, Expedia, which has really been a dud of a performer. Expedia is down 13.6% today. Now, okay, we recently had a portfolio come from a big firm that's all over TV all the time. And a lot of the usual suspects were in that portfolio. And I go, why do they own Expedia and not Booking? Okay, and in that portfolio also I said, why do they own Nike? Nike's just been a horrible stock. Why do they own Nestle's? Nestle's has been a horrible stock. Why do they own Roche, the drug company? It's had no. And why do they own Johnson & Johnson? Well, because everybody has to own Johnson. Why do they own Sony? Why do they own United Healthcare, which is just under a massive? It had all the usual suspects, right. And I did get rid. They also had Amgen, all right, and I did sell Amgen too because. But Amgen is up today on. You know, okay. Let's see. Let me get to Amgen. Amgen was put in the Dow. I can't remember who they replaced. CVS maybe or something like that. Amgen's up 12% today. Why? Because they gave an update on their weight loss candidates, which may happen someday, right? So that's not really that great of news. And let's take a look at Amgen's quarter here. I will say this, their sales are up 22%. I don't know where the sales are coming from at Amgen these days. For a long time, it was the blood... I can't remember the drug they had that was a big breakthrough.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
I mean, to go into the Dow is a big deal, right? But they have not had a hit for a long time, and they've become a single-digit grower. Their growth over the last 5 years is 5% per year. But they, along with 13 other companies, are working on weight loss drugs.
Well, and two of the other ones, I'm just looking at the Dow, Johnson & Johnson and Merck, right? Both of them, both of those are, Johnson & Johnson down 9% on the year, right?
Yep.
Versus some of you, do you want to be in Johnson & Johnson or Novo Nordisk?
How about somebody
Lilly?
That already has a weight-less drug and they can't keep up with the demand? You saw Lilly's, now these stocks have sold off a little since NVO's report yesterday, which they were talking about maybe having to lower the price a little bit, but still, they can't meet the demand, okay? So I would, instead of a company that might have a drug stock someday, a weight loss drug stock someday, so anyways, I don't get too excited about Amgen here. Even though I think there was probably a lot of short interest, too, in Amgen, which always always juices those moves a little bit to the upside. Okay, now, here's another. Let's go back to a good stock. You know how, I'll tell you another way to tell a good stock is when you drive by their restaurants, the parking lots are full. Have you ever driven by a Texas Roadhouse when the parking lot wasn't full at around 5 o'clock, 5:30, 6 o'clock? It just seems to me like, you know what, whatever they got, which I've been there a few times, several times, the people like, the folks
people
like.
People come back.
So look, I mean, there's only a few really good restaurant stocks out there. Chipotle, obviously, is one of them. Texas Roadhouse is obviously one of them. And the third one is Wingstop. Those are the three that have got it going on right now. And the rest of them, and let's hope Burger King joins that list here, QSR someday. But over, you know, look, Texas Roadhouse has beat the S&P handily over the last 20, or over the last 10, 5, 3 years, with no guarantees going forward. But they continue to execute. And they haven't lost their luster. And that's another thing I would say, especially with the restaurant stock. I remember when Outback was the hot thing. You know, they were doing Australian movies. You know, you had Crocodile Dundee in Australia had its run, and Shrimp on the Barbie.
Bloomin' Onion.
Bloomin' Onions, and it was one of the hottest stocks out there. And These stocks, they have their runs.
And now they just closed one by, you know.
Now they're closing down.
Yeah.
So therein is no better example of the lifespan of a publicly traded company.
Darden Restaurants is great. Yeah, look at that. Look at that chart and that run over the years, right?
Yeah.
They had Red Lobster and Olive Garden.
And Olive Garden, of course.
You know, it's just, it doesn't stay.
It gets stale.
Right.
Stale. Okay. Anyway, so I would just say that Texas Roadhouse, and I came really close to buying it here recently, and I didn't. And anyways, I'll be standing in line eating peanuts saying, I should have bought the stock, you know. But anyways, that's Texas Roadhouse, TXRH. I like going through these individual companies because we're all familiar with them. And very few people know underneath the surface, you know, how the stock has performed. Well, an investment in Texas Roadhouse has returned 21% per year for the last 10 years, and they obviously are still executing because the stock today is breaking out to a new all-time high, $11 billion. It's up 3.9% for this company headquartered in Louisville, Kentucky. Why do they call it Texas Roadhouse? And I do hear there will be a party in Louisville this Saturday. We'll be right back. You got to go where you want to go. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. There's just a few other stocks that I want to mention here before we take a look inside the indexes. And I also want to mention that I begin my newsletter today. And there's a lot to talk about in the newsletter, things that have occurred in the market this past week. It's been another active week. We had Powell, we had AMD earnings, we had Amazon earnings, we had Apple earnings. We've had a Bitcoin sell-off, China breaking out underneath the surface. We haven't really had a chance to talk about that, but the Chinese stocks have been breaking out. And we've had a lot of other miscellaneous earnings. And you know what? For me, the most important thing of all is when we boil it all down, where are the S&P 500 earnings estimates for this year, 2024, at? And more importantly, next year, 2025, because the market is going to put, or investors are going to put a multiple on those expected earnings and come up with the target price and trade accordingly. And we've also had a downward move in interest rates here towards the back half of this week, which helps that multiple out a little bit. So there's a lot of moving parts right now in the market. In addition, well, they're kind of on hold right now in the Middle East, but I hear that there's a one-week deadline on Hamas before Israel goes into Rafah. So we'll see. That's all playing out in the background here of the market on a daily basis. Okay, just a few other stocks. Square has reported. That's Jack,
Jack Dorsey.
Dorsey's other stock.
You don't hear that name as much anymore, do you?
No, not since he's not the Twitter
king. Not
since
he got rid of Twitter, right?
Yeah, that's the one that gave him. And it was a good performer for a while, but it's fizzled out pretty big time here. I'll tell you another area that has really come to a screeching halt, and it was a leader in the market for the first quarter of this year and the last quarter of last year, were the software stocks, especially the cybersecurity stocks. And I'm seeing net fizzle today. Cloudflare, which is probably the second best one in that group behind CrowdStrike. Yeah. Cloudflare's down 17% today.
No, I mean, you can look at a company, take like CRM. Take CRM, for example, one of the largest software companies out there, Salesforce. One-year number up 40%, right?
Yes.
But if you look at year-to-date number, up only, just under 5%.
So big correction.
That's a slowdown, like you
said. And look at ServiceNow. You can say the same thing about ServiceNow, which we got out of. I said, look, earlier, maybe a month ago, 2 months ago, I said the first sector that is stalling out here, and it's not a good sign, is the software sector, because it had been just screaming.
Yes, I mean, ServiceNow, yeah, up almost just almost 57% over the last 12 months, but you know, just year to date in 2024, down 1.5%.
There you go. Come to a screeching halt. Palo Alto Networks would be another one, PANW, which came to a screeching halt. Now, Cloudflare today is getting clocked. It's down 17%. You had Fastly yesterday get clocked for 35%. You know, software is up and down over the years. It's a volatile sector. It's a lot like the semiconductor sector. When it goes, it really goes. And when it starts to correct, you see some pretty heavy correction take place. Okay, let's see. Are there any others that I want
AI,
to mention?
You're gonna
today?
Have, yeah, with AI, too, you're going to have winners, you know, even more, you know, dichotomy between winners and losers in the software market, because, you know, these companies got to, you know, they've got to execute their AI strategy, which creates, you know, additional execution risk.
Now, I did notice that in the networking sector, Arista is having a good day. It's up 4.7%, and it is, that term AI, it's a major player in AI as far as the networking. Okay, now as I look inside the indexes, the Dow, it's two stocks, which, you know, I mean, that's not a real good thing because it's not real sustainable. I mean, this doesn't mean the Dow is holding its support line. Today, Amgen's up 12%. That's having a massive influence on the Dow. And Apple's up 6.8%. Nothing else is really doing that well. And you've got some, the oil stocks have been performing very poorly. You've got Exxon down 1.6, Chevron down 1.6, so not very good there. Now, in the S&P 500, it's the same thing. You've got Amgen and Apple and Booking. Okay, now Booking deserves it, and so does Arista Networks. And you also got Supermicro Computer up 3.1% today in the S&P 500. On the downside, Expedia is the big loser, down 14.2%. And another software stock, Fortinet, which we've owned in the past, getting clocked today, down 8%. It's in that cybersecurity space. And then over at the NASDAQ, the most exciting of all of the indexes, same thing. There is one other stock here, Mercado Libre, which I haven't mentioned. It's the Amazon of South America. It's having a good day. Meli, M-E-L-I. And Amgen is carrying the NASDAQ today, and along with Apple and Booking.
Little pop in ASML.
ASML
is up 9% at the moment.
Not too bad there. And NVIDIA is up 2.7%. On the downside in the NASDAQ, Expedia once again down 14.1%. So that's how we're going to finish the week. We'll see. I mean, I don't have a lot of faith in today's rally because it's only a few stocks that are participating. But we are holding the line. You know, the headline of last week's newsletter was hanging in there. Yeah. We've gone through a 5% correction. Are we going to go through another 5 to make up for a 10, which would take the PE back to 19, which is where it belongs. But we're holding the line so far. We were ready to break down on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, the Fed said enough to keep it propped up. And even to have a little bit of a rally, and that's how we're going to finish. The most important thing in the newsletter for me this week will be the technical analysis of all the major asset classes that I do every Saturday morning, and that all-important macro outlook based on the earnings, the publicly available earnings that are out there on the street. That's going to be very important as to whether we can sustain this this rally in the market or not, this bull market that began in 2009, believe it or not. To get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com to set up an appointment with us, either live in Minnesota or live over the telephone or Zoom.
Yeah, no AI here.
Nope, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.